Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 390, as found in your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be thy kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom of Solomon. But the ungodly, by their words and deeds, summon death. Considering him a friend, they pined away and made a covenant with him because they are fit to belong to his company. For they reasoned unsoundly, saying to themselves, "Short and sorrowful is our life. There is no remedy when a life comes to its end. And no one has been known to return from Hades. Let us lie in wait for the righteous man because he is inconvenient to us and opposes our actions. He reproaches us for the sins against the law and accuses us of sins against our training. He professes to have knowledge of God and calls himself a child of the Lord. He became to us a reproof of our thoughts. The very sight of him is a burden to us because his manner of life is unlike that of others and his ways are strange. We are considered by him as something base, and he avoids our ways as unclean. And he calls the end of the righteous happy and boasts that God is his father. Let us see if his words are true. Let us test what will happen at the end of his life. For if the righteous God's child, he will help him and will deliver him from the hand of his adversaries. Let us test him with insult and torture so that we may find out how gentle he is and make trial of his forbearance. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to what he says, he will be protected." Thus they reasoned, but they were led astray, for their wickedness blinded them, and they did not know the secret purposes of God, nor hoped for the wages of holiness, nor discerned the prize for the blameless souls. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be the first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put him among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. I once heard a teacher teaching some young people about the life of faith, and this particular teacher told this little parable, and it has always stuck with me. And what he said to the students was that he asked them, "Did you know that both heaven and hell are a banquet?" And this immediately got all the young people's attention, because that was a new thought. He said, "Yes, both heaven and hell are a banquet, and the silverware is 5 feet long." It's an odd image, isn't it? But he proceeded to say, so what happens is, in hell, people are busily trying to feed themselves, and they're whacking each other on the head with the long silverware and yelling at each other and telling people, "Go away from the table, get out of here, I don't want you here, I need space to eat." And there's fights and conflict, and nobody is getting fed. And in heaven, he asserted, everyone is busy feeding their neighbor across the table from them. And everyone is getting fed and having a lovely time. Great story. Really captured the young people's attention. Had them thinking. And I think that what I like about the story is that it speaks to the reality that there is an understanding and a mindset and a spiritual practice that flows from those understandings and mindsets that Jesus is trying to teach us and that we lose sight of frequently. And part of the reason why we lose sight of it is because it's all about a spiritual economy that is different from the worldly economy, from the economy of our national life, of our global these days life. They're two different things, and it's okay that they're two different things. The trick is not getting one confused with the other. You see, the spiritual economy is one of abundance. We say over and over again, we've talked about it here many, many times, that God is ceaselessly pouring out blessings and grace on all of us. That God is constantly, as our friend Catherine Tanner says, seeking to give everything that is God to everything that is not God. And so, at a spiritual level, what is so is this incredible abundance. And that incredible abundance then makes it possible for us to give things away. We can give away our time and our talent and our treasure. We can give away status. We can give away struggle. We can give things away because there is abundance as the nature of the way things are. And what's more, our identity itself is held in Christ's hand and is not at risk. So often we get defensive, we get combative, we get unpeaceful and unwilling to serve because we fear our identity is at risk. But our identity is in Christ, and it's never at risk. There's a beautiful text in the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation where Jesus says, "And I give to the one who perseveres a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." He gives an identity to us as a gift. It's Christ's. It's held in keeping by Christ. Our identity is not at risk because it is the nature of God to be ceaselessly pouring out grace and blessings to all of us. And that is different from the economy of our everyday world and our money. It's different because the global economy is based on scarcity. It's based on there's so much product and there's only so much product and we try to sell that product and we want to make a profit. And there is built into the whole system a lot of stuff that is okay, but it's not the spiritual economy. In the spiritual economy, we give up status. In the regular economy, we try to move up the ranks in our jobs. We try to do better financially. We try to climb the corporate ladder. And we do that so we can make enough money to pay for our kids' education and pay for our home and give a little money to the church and to do good in the world, and that's perfectly reasonable. We have to be responsible with our money in the worldly economy as a church and as individuals. Nothing wrong with that. Where we mess up is when we confuse that with the economy of the Spirit. With the spiritual economy. When we're asked to engage in acts of service, it is not, as I was taught, and probably you were taught when we were a little kid, because we need to be knocked down a peg and taught to be humble. That's not the point. The point is we can give away in service because we receive so much. In our jobs, we try to rise up the ladder and become people who, you know, have more of a crucial role to play in the company and make a little better salary for our family and our kids, and that's fine. And in the life of the Spirit, the continual outpouring of God's blessings wipes away all status. How do you have fights over status when all that is a continual outpouring of divine blessing? Who's above? Who's below? There isn't an above and a below in an endless sea of blessing. It's just not there. So when we're asked to engage in service, and when we're asked to be, as the James sentence says, willing to yield, when we're asked to be gentle and peaceable, we're asked to give away things like a little bit of our time, give away our guardedness, give away our striving and our competition, to give those things away because we trust in the abundance of God's love. Not because we're trying to earn heaven, that's worldly economy, not spiritual economy, and that's confusing the two. Not because we have to learn to be humble because God wants us all to get that we're lower than God and lower than dirt. That's the way I was raised, right? And again, that's confusing worldly economy with spiritual economy. No, instead, it's about understanding and really believing and acting like in your life you really believe that God is continually pouring blessings upon us. And when you really believe that, it's liberating. And you can give away more of yourself to the service of others. Because you know you're not at risk. And you're never going to run out. And God's love is always going to be there for you, no matter what's going on in the world. Jesus tries to teach us this all the time. You've heard many of my favorite verses in Scripture are about this. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. None there about earning it. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. From Luke. Or the story of the landowner who hires workers at the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, and the end of the day, and pays them all the same. This makes no sense in terms of our worldly economy. It would be a mistake to do that. Because the next day, nobody would want to work with you till the end of the day. Right? It's not what they teach you in management school. Nor should they. But in terms of understanding who God is and how God works, God gives it all away, all the time. That's what that verse means. It's why Jesus would say, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, and God has clothed you even more beautifully than them. Jesus over and over and over again is trying to help us see the abundance of the spiritual economy, the abundance that is the nature of God, and therefore the nature of everything that God created. And he's trying to show us that that's different than the economy of the Empire of Rome. And we're asked to see that. And not to confuse the two. So in today's gospel, Jesus is taking his disciples away so he can talk to them because there's a point in what he's trying to teach them and they're not getting it and they're having a really hard time. And I'm sure that occasionally Jesus was just like, oi. He's trying to help them understand that you can so completely trust in the Father's love and in the Father's graces that you can even give your whole life away and it will be okay. He's trying to show them that he is so fully entering the human experience that he is even going to give his life away in death and it will be okay. Because death isn't the end when you get that God's love is ceaselessly outpouring from the divine heart. And so he's trying to teach them this, and they're not getting it. They're just completely not getting it. It's too hard, it's too scary, it's too weird, it's too abstract, it's too whatever. They don't want to get it. And so what we get in the gospel we heard today is this marvelous opposition, right? And it lays it right out for us. So in the gospel of the spiritual economy of God ceaselessly outpouring love and grace and blessings, there's no status. It all gets washed away in an endless sea of blessing. How can there be status when there's an endless sea of blessing? It doesn't work. It's not a part of that story. And in contrast, because that's too weird and too scary and too hard for the disciples to understand, what do? They start having a debate about who's the greatest. Exactly the opposite. And Jesus asks them about it, and they don't want to tell him because they're embarrassed, because they know they're missing the mark. They're not getting it. So Jesus calls the child over, and he says, you want to be a part of the spiritual economy, you have to serve. You have to be a servant. You have to be like a child. You know, this child can image the kingdom of God for you because precisely it's not about status. It's not about that. It's about the ceaselessly outpouring love of God. That's what Jesus wants us to get. That's what he invites us to understand. And so every time we engage in an act of service, we step a little further into the spiritual economy. We understand that we can give away some of our treasure, some of our time, some of our talent. The stewardship committee has worked very diligently to make sure that we understand that we're talking about not just money at stewardship season. We're talking about our time. Our time to give some of our life in service to others, as well as our money. The opportunity to use some of our talents to benefit other people. It's not just money. And in that life of stewardship, every time we step forward and give a little of our time and our talent away, we step a step further into the spiritual economy, and we start to believe it a little more. It's a spiritual discipline designed to help us learn, inwardly digest, to use the old prayer book phrase, and come to know the reality of that spiritual economy. To know that our lives really are based on the ceaselessly flowing love of God that descends upon us all day, every moment, across the whole universe. That is who God is. And because that's who God is, James could write, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits because of this continual blessing of God always flowing towards us without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy.
As you are able, please stand and join in with me in the proclamation of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Yet on the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Gracious God, you enrich our lives with an abundance of good things. Our tables overflow with your generosity. Help each of us journey through a life of stewardship, thankful for every meal and blessing.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you call us to your table to share the taste of eternal life here and hereafter. We pray for all people of faith, and particularly for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. As we gather at your table, we anticipate the feast at the fulfillment of time. We give thanks for Anne, Mike, Isabella, Raul, John, who are celebrating birthdays, for Avril and Malcolm, who are celebrating their wedding anniversary, for Brian, Clarence, Mark, who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Glorious God, we recognize that the abundance of our supermarkets is not shared by many of your children around the world. We pray for all those who are hungry, poor, or in any distress. We also pray for those who seek to help our world and its people. Donald, our president, our legislators and judges, loaves and fishes, Yana, peacemakers, and for Courtney, James, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen, who serve in our armed forces.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good. Gracious God, most experience life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick, all who are addicted, and all who are homeless, remembering especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Carolyn, Christine, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Sid, Ken, Betsy, Donald, Don, Nancy, Victor, Mary, Jean, Nancy, Marilyn, Nancy, Kate, Carol, John, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
May they taste and see
that the Lord is good.
Now gathered at your table, O God, are Nathan, Dick, Margaret, and all those who have departed this life.
May they taste and see that the Lord is good.
Almighty God, we thank you for making the earth fruitful so that it might produce what is needed for life. Bless those who work in the fields. Give us seasonable weather. And grant that we may all share the fruits of the earth, rejoicing in your goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess that
we have sinned
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with Mary the God-bearer and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. You can go ahead and take this one. Craig, Chris, Sue, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today. A couple of things. First, Wesley's first time as Eucharistic minister. Good.
Great conversation and discussion as a part of that.
As you are able, please stand.
One last thing. I just remembered. Our dear sister Margaret Eisner's funeral is Saturday at 2 p.m., and you are all invited to come and participate in that as well. Come and join us as we say goodbye to Margaret and commend her to Almighty God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.